Turn again, please, in the Word of God to Romans chapter 10. And then for a moment or two, we'll seek the Lord for his blessing and help on the preaching of the gospel. Our gracious and eternal Father in heaven, we thank you for thy faithfulness to us from day to day. We thank you that thou hast been faithful in presenting the gospel to us, giving us opportunity to respond and seek thy face. We also thank thee, dear Father, for the blood of Jesus shed at Calvary to cleanse men from their sins, make them clean, acceptable to God. Hear and answer prayer tonight as we preach the gospel, and then take us to our homes in safety. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. In Romans chapter 9 to 11 sets forth the place of Israel, the nation of Israel, the people of Israel, Jews, according to the flesh. These chapters set forth their place in the scheme, God's scheme of redemption, and their special covenant relationship with God, both in the past and at the present, and then again for the time to come. However, when you come to chapter 10 of Romans, Paul makes it abundantly clear that as far as the salvation of an individual soul is concerned, makes it clear there is no difference between the Jew and the Gentile. You'll see that stated very clearly and explicitly in verse 12. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. There is no difference as far as the individual's soul salvation is concerned. There is no difference. The Jews are sinners, and the Gentiles are sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All need to be saved. And whether Jew or Gentile, the Lord will be rich in mercy unto all that call upon him. For verse 13 says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Therefore, whether a man is a Jew or a Gentile, there is one way of salvation. When that sinner, Jew or Gentile, calls upon the Lord in sincerity and asks him to take away their sin, believing in Christ as the Son of God, the same Lord is rich unto all that call upon him. And so Paul is making it clear that according to the gospel, the Jew and the Gentile can only be saved in the same way. There is no difference. But Paul went a little further, and he made it clear that not all Israelites were saved or are saved. For he goes on to quote the prophet Isaiah in verse 16, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? In fact, verse 16 begins by that statement, they have not all obeyed the gospel. Just because a man was born a Jew, just because he was of the descendants of Abraham, did not mean that he was automatically a member of the kingdom of God. He was not automatically saved by his parentage. And Paul makes that clear. He says, they have not all obeyed the gospel. And then he quotes Isaiah 53 in verse 1. And it's almost a lament from Isaiah. That famous chapter speaking of the work of Christ. But it begins with a lamentation. Who hath believed our report? And it's a prayer to God, Lord, who hath believed our report? In other words, Lord, there are Israelites, there are Jews, and they haven't believed. They're not saved. They haven't called upon the Lord. Paul goes even further to show that while the Israelites, many of them, rejected the gospel, that the Lord would bring the gospel to the Gentiles. Verse 20, Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. It's a reference quoting Isaiah 65 and verse 2. It's a reference to the fact that when the Jews rejected Christ, the Messiah, the gospel would come to the Gentiles. While the Lord was gracious in manifesting the gospel to the Gentiles who sought him not, he concludes this chapter by revealing his ongoing attitude, his dealings with unbelieving Israel, by quoting again from Isaiah 65 and verse 2. In verse 21, he says, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. So while all Israel, like the Gentiles, were sinners, they need to be saved. They can be saved by calling upon Christ as their Savior. Yet many of them refused. And so when they rejected Christ, the gospel was given to the Gentiles. But here was the Lord's attitude and his posture, as it were, towards unbelieving Israel. He said, all day long have I stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. Do you know what was true of Israel and is true of Israelites? Is true of many a sinner. For the Lord's hands are stretched out. Stretched out to you. Reaching out. Tonight I want to speak to you in the closing moments of our final drive-in service of the season on the outstretched hands of Christ to a sinful, gainsaying people. Get that picture in your mind. The Lord saying himself, his hands are stretched out and stretched out unto a particular people. The first point I want to make this evening is the purpose of the outstretched hand. When a hand is stretched out to another, it symbolizes the offer of help or the offer of salvation. We talk about the outstretched hand, and when someone's in trouble, when someone needs help, when someone needs deliverance, we reach out the hand. And we offer them that hand to pull them forth and help them out of their situation. And I'm saying to you, the purpose of the Savior's outstretched hands to sinners is for the purpose of salvation. Proverbs, this is confirmed in a number of places in Proverbs chapter 1, when the Lord was exhorting the people in Solomon's time to turn to him, he used this very symbol. He said in verse 23, turn you at my reproof. In other words, turn unto me as I reprove you in your sin, as I show you your sin. Turn unto me. That's what the Lord wants the sinner to do. He says, because I have called and ye refused, I stretched out my hand and no man regarded. When the Lord was calling those men to repentance, to turn from their sin, he symbolizes or pictures himself as one with an outstretched hand, reaching out, turn unto me, Put your hand in my hand, and I will save you. I will help you. I will deliver you. The problem in Solomon's time was his outstretched hand was disregarded. Maybe that describes you this evening. You're disregarding the outstretched hand of the Savior to save you. You know, the most vivid picture of the purpose of the outstretched hand is found in a little story recorded in the Gospels. Matthew chapter 14, verse 31. You will read there of that incident when the Lord Jesus Christ walked on the water. His disciples were in danger. They were filled with fears. They were sailing across the Sea of Galilee one night at his command. And down came a storm, and such was that storm, they thought they were going to perish in the depths of the Sea of Galilee. But in their hour of fear, in their hour of need, the Lord Jesus came unto them. What a lovely thought that is, that in your hour of need, Jesus went unto them, walking in the sea, and he'd come unto you. The time when you're beset by fears, the time when you don't know what way to turn or what to do, the Lord is willing to come unto you. And of course, the disciples thought they seen a spirit. And Jesus told them not to fear, it was him. And Peter replying, he says, Lord, if it's really you, bid me to come under the water. And Peter, I tell you, Peter was brave, for he stepped out of the boat. And I don't think too many of us in that situation would have stepped out of the boat. Peter stepped out of the boat and he began to walk in the water to Jesus. But you know the story, he took his eyes off the Lord. And taking his eyes off the Lord, he began to sink in the waves. He began to sink to his death. In that moment, he cried out, Lord, save me. And in Matthew 14, verse 31, we read, immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. The outstretched hand of Jesus put his hand out to Peter and caught him from the depths and saved him from certain doom and death. What a picture we have there of the gospel message. We sing the hymn, I was sinking deep in sin. Oh my friend, unlike Peter, you're not sinking in water, you're sinking in sin. But like Peter, your sin will take you to certain death and certain judgment. You're sinking in sin with no way to save yourself. Peter couldn't swim back to the boat. The waves were much too fierce. The wind was too strong. His friends and brethren couldn't reel him in. He couldn't look to them for help. But when he was sinking in the waves, a hand of omnipotence, a hand of power, a hand of love, a hand of mercy was reached out to him, and Peter put his hand in the outstretched hand of Jesus, and Jesus saved his life. What a picture it is of the gospel. For you're sinking deep in sin, you're sinking to rise no more, you're overwhelmed by guilt within, mercy you do implore. Then the master of the sea, he'll hear your despairing cry. I want to tell you, he has his hand reached out to you to lift you out of the angry waves, to lead you back to the good ship of salvation, where you'll be safe from death, safe from judgment, safe for all eternity. My friend, I want to tell you tonight, there's a God in heaven. Jesus is his son, and he has reached out that nail-scarred hand. He's able to save, and he reaches down to save you because his hand was pierced at Calvary. He's able to save. He is willing to save. He is merciful. He doesn't have to hold his hand out to you. Sinned against him.
deserve wrath and judgment. And yet in love, he has his hand stretched out even to you. And it's stretched out for the purpose of saving your soul. I want you to consider, secondly, tonight, not only the purpose of the outstretched hand, but I want you to consider the people for the outstretched hand. Who had the Lord his hand stretched out to in this verse? It's very specific. Verse 21 says, "But to Israel he saith." His hand was stretched out to Israel. Let me say that these chapters set forth Israel to be a privileged people. If you turn back to Romans chapter 3, you will see that Paul asks a question. Again, he has stated that both the Jews and the Greeks, they're all under sin. They're all sinners before him. And in chapter 3, verse 1, he asks the question, what advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? What way does it advantage a man being a Jew if they're all sinners? Well, Paul answers the question in verse 2, much every way. There was much advantage to being a Jew. And it really comes down to this, the question of their privileges. Just because unto them were committed the oracles of God. The Jews had the scriptures. When the world was sinking in sin, and in Old Testament times, did not have the revelation of God. The scriptures, the oracles of God, refer to the writings of the Lord. The scriptures that reveal there's a creator in heaven, that reveal man's fall, creation, and fall into sin, that reveal God's gracious promise to send a Savior, to send that Savior through the line of Abraham. They had the scriptures. If you turn over then to Romans chapter 9, Paul shows us more of the privileges of the Israelites or the Jews. Look at verse 4. He said, "Who are Israelites? To whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises?" There he identifies them as children of the covenant. God covenanted with Abraham that in him all nations would be blessed, that through his earthly seed the Messiah would come into the world, and he would take Israel and he would take Abraham, and through Isaac and Jacob and their offspring, he would make them a great nation. He would give them the promised land. He covenanted to do at least two things: to give them the land of Israel as an everlasting inheritance, and he covenanted that through Abraham's seed, the Messiah and the Savior would come. That was a privilege. To be the covenant people of God, through whom the Messiah would come, and the Lord would give them that land, the land of Israel, the land of Canaan. Then they not only had the privilege of the scriptures and the covenant, the services of the sanctuary that revealed the Lord to them, they had the privilege of a great ancestry. Look at Romans 9, verse 5. Whose are the fathers? And of whom is concerning the flesh Christ came, who is over all God blessed forever? Whose are the fathers? They could trace their pedigree back to Abraham, the friend of God. Jacob, man who saw God face to face at Peniel. They could look back and they could see among their ancestry there was prophets and priests, mighty men of God who knew the Lord and revealed himself to the nation through them. These are the privileges of the Israelites. The Lord had his hand stretched out to. And yet though they were a privileged people, they were a disobedient people.
For our text says, all day long have I stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. The word disobedient, it refers to rebellion, refers to them walking in their own ways. Isaiah 65 verse 2 is where this quote is taken from. They disobeyed the Lord. They disobeyed his commands. They would not walk in his ways despite all their privileges. And they went further. They were a gainsaying people. The word means to speak against. They not only disobeyed the Lord, but they spoke against him. They mocked him. They would not have him to reign or to rule over them. And they spoke ill of him. That's the people the Lord is speaking of. You know, you can have the same privileges as Israel. I wonder tonight, am I describing you? You're not an Israelite after the flesh. No, you're a Gentile. But you have been privileged in gospel blessing. Your ancestry, you can look and see your parents are saved. They know the Lord. They worship him. They serve him. Your grandparents are the same. But you're disobedient to the gospel yourself. Like the Israelites, you have the scriptures. You have them in your home. You hear them read in church, perhaps, or gathering dust in the home place because you never read them. You have a copy of God's revelation to man, but you never read it, and you're disobedient to the Lord. You're surrounded by those who engage in the service of the sanctuary, not the Old Testament administration of the covenant, but the new. You have the services of the sanctuary. You're surrounded by people who are in covenant with God. You know, you can have all those privileges. They won't save your soul. My, the tabernacle and the temple and the reading of the law and the circumcision of the flesh and the ceremonies, they didn't save the Israelites who were still disobedient to the gospel. And my friend, your privileges won't save you. Your parents' salvation will not avail for you. The scriptures sitting at home or in the church will not merit you salvation before the Lord. The fact that you know and are surrounded by those who are saved in covenant with God will not save your soul. Maybe tonight finds you as a disobedient and again saying people. Yet here's the mercy, the grace, the truth of the gospel. Though you deserve judgment for your sin, though you deserve no mercy or favor from God, yet Jesus Christ, in your disobedience and gainsaying, his hands are stretched out, and they're stretched out to save you. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And his hand is stretched out still in your sin. What a merciful, gracious God and Savior we have. I want you to notice one final thought tonight. Not only the purpose of the outstretched hand and the people for the outstretched hand, I want you to see the patience of the outstretched hand. Look at our text again. It says, but to Israel he saith, all day long. Just mark those words. All day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient, gainsaying people. There will have been times, no doubt, when you have held out your hand to others. You've offered the hand of help.
and it has been refused. And therefore you have withdrawn it. No doubt that has been your experience. Yet the Lord, how patient. The patience, the outstretched hand all day long. All day while you continue to sin, you continue to speak against the Lord, you continue to reject Him. All day long, He has His hand stretched out. It reminds us of that great text in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. The Lord continues patiently to knock the door of your soul that He might gain admittance and entrance to it. This little saying magnifies the patience and the mercy of the Lord. Perhaps you feel the sins you've committed would have caused the Lord's hand to withdraw some time ago. I say to you tonight, His hand is stretched out still. Despite the fact you've rejected Him all day long, it's still stretched out to you. And I urge you to put your hand in the hand of the man of Calvary. Put your hand in the hand of the man that walked on water. Put your hand in the hand of the man who walked on the sea. Because it's stretched out still, and He is willing to take you by the hand. He's willing to forgive you of your sin. He's willing to make you His child. He's willing to give you a purpose in this life and a home in heaven in eternity with Him. He's willing to lift you from the angry waves and from the miry clay whereby you're sinking to destruction. And He's willing to love you and embrace you and cleanse you and keep you and give you His joy and blessing in your heart. Because His hand is stretched out still. Stretched out to you even tonight. But I do have to close with a word of warning. The hymn said, O sinner, God's patience will weary someday. While the Lord holds His hand out all day, and He holds it out long for sinners, and He's patient with you, yet the hymn is correct. O sinner, God's patience will weary someday. Leave thy sad soul in the blast. The scripture tells us that this is so. For I refer you in closing once more to Proverbs chapter 1. There the Lord exhorted the man of Solomon's day. I have stretched out my hand. I have called. And he stretched out his hand, but he said, you refused. Then he declared, but ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but shall not find me. Speaking, I believe, of the judgment coming upon the soul. The Lord saying then, it will be too late. I believe with all my heart we're living still in the day of grace, the day of opportunity, The day when the Lord has stretched out his hand and is holding it out still, he's willing and able to save you. In this symbolic act of mercy, will you respond? Not by continuing in your disobedience, not by continuing in your gainsaying, but respond by putting your hand in the hand of Christ and calling upon him to be your Savior. May the Lord bless his word tonight. May some sinner respond by reaching out, taking hold of Christ, placing themselves in his hand. For he said, I give unto my sheep eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father's hand. Their salvation, their security, their safety, when you're in the hands of God, in the hands of Christ.